This evening, the subject under consideration is the need for baptism. And our speaker, Brother Paul, by the way, has asked us to take a scriptural reading before we listen to the talk, and that is Matthew chapter 3, and the last verses, starting at verse 13. So it's verses 13 to 17 of Matthew chapter 3. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John, to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and, lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Let us approach our Heavenly Father in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are by birth sinners. We have human nature. We make mistakes. We fall short. And Heavenly Father, therefore, we cannot approach you on our own because you cannot be near sin. But Heavenly Father, you have provided a means of salvation, a means of those sins being covered, a means that we can be changed in the twinkling of an eye so that we can be atoned and be brought back to you. Heavenly Father, that means of salvation is the centre point of your whole point in creation, your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we know from your word that you have a plan and purpose with this world, which is centred around your Son, and we can be part of that. And we pray for those that have not yet made those sort of decisions to accept the covering, to accept the free gift that you offer, and of the opportunity to be there. Please help them to accept it and to understand it. And those of us that have continued, help us to make sure that we understand it correctly, that we keep bringing ourselves back to the eternal things and not allowing the day-to-day things of the world to crowd in upon our thoughts. Heavenly Father, we ask this blessing through our Saviour Jesus. Amen. The need for baptism. It's now my duty and pleasure to ask Brother Paul to give us the words he's prepared on that subject.
Good evening, interested friends, brethren and sisters. Thank you for taking the time to come out and to listen to this talk entitled The Need for Baptism. God has a plan for this world, and the plan is that at a certain time, we don't know when, he is going to send his Son, Jesus Christ, back to the earth to set up his kingdom. It is going to be a wonderful kingdom, and the Bible tells us of how wonderful this is going to be. Could you please turn to Revelation 21 and verse 4, please? Revelation 21, verse 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. This is just one of the many verses in the Bible which tell us of how great this time is going to be. Right now, we can't imagine a time where there is no suffering in the world, where nobody dies, where everybody is joyful all the time, and the world is at peace. But the Bible offers us this amazing gift and shows us how amazing it will be. I want to be part of this kingdom, and so do many of us in this room, which is why we are here tonight. However, one of the essential steps to get to this kingdom is baptism. I myself am baptized, and so many others within this room. But why have we been baptized? I would like to look at three different sections of Scripture which will help us to understand why people all over the world have chosen to be baptized and how essential it is for salvation. Could you please turn with me to Acts chapter 8 and verse 26. Acts 8 verse 26 to verse 40. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge over all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near, and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither unto him, and heard him read the prophet, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip, and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself, or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth, and began at the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. When they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. So this eunuch had gained a knowledge of Scripture, but wanted guidance of understanding what he was reading. Philip guided him through what he had just read, and then taught him all about Jesus. When the eunuch and Philip came to an expanse of water, the eunuch asked to be baptized. This had all come about through reading a passage of Scripture about Jesus and wanting to learn more. This passage shows us how enthusiastic this man was about learning more about Jesus and about what he had just read. And I think we should all have this same enthusiasm. We should all want to learn more about what we read within this book. Philip must have taught the eunuch about baptism and what it stands for. As the eunuch asked him, What stops me from being baptized? Philip's response is, If you believe with all your heart, you may. And the eunuch replies, saying, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The eunuch believed and was baptized because of his confession of his faith, that he believed that Jesus is the Son of God. To be baptized, we need to believe with all our hearts what it says in this book, the Bible, is true, that it is God's word and that it holds the key to salvation. Without it, we have no hope. Could we now please turn to our next passage of Scripture, which is Acts 2, verses 21. Acts 2, verse 21. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then can we jump down to verse 37 to 42. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourself from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and in fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. In this chapter, we have the events of the day of Pentecost. The disciples had been gathered together, and they had been given the Holy Spirit. At this time in Jerusalem, there were great crowds, and the disciples took the opportunity to preach Jesus to them. From verse 21 to verse 37 of this chapter, we get a speech by the Apostle Peter about the work that Jesus came to do, and that he had been crucified, even though he was a sinless man. Reading from verse 22 to 23, Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands and have crucified and put to death. Look at the way the crowd reacts. They had heard about this man, and it really meant something to them. And they wanted to do something about it. It says in verse 37 in our passage of scripture that they were pricked in heart. So what does this mean? In the English Standard Version, it translates this as cut to the heart. I think this means that when they heard it, they were really affected by it, and it made them think, and it also touched them, so much so that they wanted to do something about it. In the same verse, verse 37, the people ask Peter and the rest of the apostles, What shall we do? Peter's reply is, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. What can we learn from this passage of Scripture? Well, I feel that we can learn that whenever we read God's word or hear it, that the word should sink deep into our hearts, just as it did for those people. And it should encourage us to want to know more and also to do something about what we have heard. As it says in the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 17, So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's no good just hearing these words and then not putting them into practice in our lives. They need to affect us and make us change the way we lead our lives. Can we please turn to James chapter 1, verses 22? James chapter 1, verse 22 to 25. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, and goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of a man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be pleased, will be blessed in what he does. If we apply this to the section of scripture from Acts which we read, we see that these men heard the word of God and were not hearers only, but also doers. They felt that they needed to be baptized after hearing Philip, Peter's speech. It affected the people so much that 3,000 people were baptized on the same day. Wouldn't it be amazing if something like that happened now? Before our final section of scripture, I would like to look at the reading which we had at the start of this talk. Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 to 17. Matthew 3, chapter 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and you are coming to me." But Jesus answered and said unto him, "Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he allowed him. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." We read in this section of scripture about Jesus' baptism. Jesus himself was baptized, and I want you to think about this. Jesus got baptized. Jesus was a man who did no sin, neither was God found in his mouth. He was the most perfect man to ever walk this earth. But he got baptized. Jesus is our example. He is the man we should look to at all times. Whether we are at good points or bad points in our lives, we should always be looking at him. Can we turn to Hebrews 12, please? We're going to look at the first two verses in this. "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race which is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." It's obvious from our section in Matthew, right at the end of verse 17, that God was pleased and wanted his son to be baptized. It says that God said, "This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased." God has great joy when anybody is baptized. Can we please turn to Luke 15 and verse 7? "I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance." And in verse 10 of the same chapter, "I say to you that there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." God wants us all to be baptized. As we can see from the verses which we have just read, he finds great joy when somebody from the world comes to a knowledge of his word and wants to change their lives to follow him and commit themselves unto him. If Jesus got baptized, then it is certainly necessary for us to be baptized. However, we cannot just get baptized. As we have seen from the examples which we have looked at this evening, we need to believe with all our hearts that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that one day he is going to come back to the earth to reign as King in power and great glory. I hope that you have been able to see that the Bible teaches that baptism is an essential part of being granted a place in God's kingdom, which we looked at the beginning of this talk. And also that it has encouraged you to start thinking about possibly becoming baptized. All of the people which we have looked at decided that they needed to be baptized. And they got this from hearing and reading the Word of God. It is the Word of life. It gives us life and it gives us hope, which is something that this world cannot offer. Let us just remind ourselves of what this kingdom has to offer each and every one of us who comes to a knowledge of God and his word. Can we please turn to Isaiah chapter 35, please? And verses 1 and 2. The wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the excellence of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the excellency of our God. Then verse 5. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. The lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. For waters shall burst forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of jackals where each lay, there shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And then verse 10. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. May this day come quickly, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Thank you for listening.